Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven could be a very wonderful, supernatural, special friend of the same.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you tonight to the broadcast. Today is Monday, the 28th of August, 2017. We pray all is well in your life and in your family. We pray that everything is, God is, you still living by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Community Outreach of Love and Pastor Powell and Brother Boone and Pastor George Sharps and I forgot the other church, but there was a couple of churches out there, the Anne Arundel County Police Department. We had a very successful outreach this past Saturday. We've given back to the community. We've supplied book bags, haircuts, food. We had some music out there, fellowship, and again, we just wanted to give a shout out to Community of Love United Outreach of Severn, Maryland. And it was good to see. We had about three or four churches come together and minister to the community. We prayed. We handed out Bibles to the children. We prayed for the adults. And I think it was a blessed time that we planted those seeds early and prayed for those children going back into the schools this next upcoming week. So just want to give them a shout out. Tonight, we're going to continue a conversation on the character traits of a godly man, of a Christian man, and we're going to touch on a couple of points. We're going to touch on some other points, some new points, and some new insights. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation, be part of the conversation tonight, and join us. Amen. Well, let me open up a scripture in prayer. I have a few announcements here, and for my brothers out there listening, our Man Up event is locked in, so get your paper, get your pencil, get your calendar out, and get ready, because we're going to share some information tonight about our next Man Up gathering. Amen. Amen. So tonight I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter number 3, starting at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above and not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming unto the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Verse number 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you, God, that we renew, God. We thank you, God, that we are men of God today, oh God. That, God, that you can use us and purpose us, God. You redeemed us. You reconciled us back to you, God. You changed our hearts. You changed our minds, oh God. You did a work through your Holy Spirit within us to make us who we are today. So, Father, we say thank you today. Father, we pray for those, oh God, that are lost, who have not heard the gospel, God. Father, I pray that you would use us, oh God, with all the men who are listening online, oh God, who are men of faith, oh God, who claim to be men of Christ, God, that we would continue to plant the seeds, spread the gospel. God, we take it not for granted, oh God, that you saved us, God, but because you saved us, we know that you can transform any man's heart into your will. So, Father, we say thank you today. Continue to bless our families, watch over our children, our grandchildren, those in our bloodline, oh God, those in our spiritual family. Bless the leaders, elders, and deacons who are serving, oh God, to lead your people in righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. All right, tonight we have a couple of announcements I want to share, some upcoming events. First of all, we have our event. We're back. Okay, we're back. Man Up 2017. This is locked in. It's locked in place. We have some pastors, some brothers coming in to commit to join and come together with the Coalition of Ministries to Men. October 28th, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're gathering. The theme for this meeting is going to be character, integrity, and accountability. Amen. Character, integrity, and accountability. And we're coming together, Jesus Lives Family Ministry, New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. We have Pastor Barney Offer and Pastor Alexander Butler, two churches that are coming out with us, and we continue to pray for more churches to come. If you email me or reach out to me on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, inbox me, and you want to be part of it, we can send you the information and the registration. Our registration will be opening up coming in September the 3rd. We're going to open up online registration. And if you inbox me on Facebook or go to Twitter at Issues Men's Talk and send me a link, send me a message, and I'll get you the online registration information. We have a PayPal account, and we're going to be moving forward. But again, that's on October the 28th, 2017, and by my next broadcast on Thursday, we'll have all the details in place. And so we encourage you to come out and join us and be part of that gathering. Amen. And also, if you are not part of the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, send us a link there. We can put you in as part of the group, and that's where you always can find updated information about what's going on here at the Coalition and also with Issues Christian Men's Talk. Amen. Amen. The next announcement is the food pantry for the Witness of the Evangelistic Church, something we share here every week, every second and fourth Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Only requirement is that you will bring a photo ID. And if you know anyone in the Maryland and Anne Arundel County, Pasadena area, the church is located at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. You can also find the link there on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. And even whenever you are in, if you inbox us, we can get you in contact with the church and let you know that, because there's a network of food pantries throughout Maryland. And if you're struggling or know someone who's struggling with food and getting food into their house, they have fresh vegetables, they have meat, they have all canned goods, all dry goods, and they're willing to share and provide, especially when we go back to school and our kids. And every child should at least go to school with breakfast at home and come home to a dinner. The school's got lunch, but we want to help to make sure they have breakfast and dinner. Amen? Amen. And next coming up is a homeless resource day here in Anne Arundel County. If you go on Anne Arundel County website, and you'll see a homeless resource day is coming up. That's also going to be on October the 28th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's sponsored again by Anne Arundel County Department of Homelessness. There's going to be a resource event there. They're going to have a lot of resources for the homeless. They're going to be offering barber medical help. There's going to be a barber there. They're going to allow people who are struggling with homelessness and have a one place, one clearinghouse for resources that the county can provide for them and help them out with shelter locations and a lot of different things. And also for those of you who do, who you have a homeless ministry that you serve and you want to get resources at when you encounter folk in your neighborhoods or in your church, you can also come there and see what resources are available here locally in the county in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. Amen. That's also, if you go to Issues Christian Ministry on Facebook page, you'll see the link there and the information on the time and place. It's going to be, for those who are familiar, it's going to be held at the Glen Burnie High School, on October the 28th, Homeless Resource Day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to continue our conversation we was having about the character traits of a godly man. But first, let me check in with my brothers here. I have a couple people online. Praise the Lord, brother. Good evening. The last four numbers are 4945. How are you?
God bless you, Deacon. How are you doing? This is Brother Boone.
Yes, sir, Brother Boone. Amen. I just gave you a shout-out, brother, about Saturday. Could you please share with the audience and the brothers that are listening on the outcomes, the praise report, testimony, something. Amen.
Amen. It was something to just feel in your spirit more than anything. It was a gathering of God because there was churches there. There was outreaches there. There were people who just even wasn't believers, but they seen and felt the love of God there, and they received the love of God, which is caring and giving. And the multitude of the churches and the outreaches gave without even blinking an eye. I was just so the heavens over that community. And I could just tell on everyone's face that it was an accomplishment, not just accomplishment of the churches, not just the accomplishment of outreaches or people. It was a accomplishment that God provided for us, for them, for the community. Amen?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're right. And it was a wonderful time. We met some new brothers there. And we're praying that even those connections to be blessed, and we'll be moving forward and develop some more things. I couldn't remember. I didn't have it written down, and I couldn't remember the other church that was there. That Minister Matthews was. What was the name of his church again?
Brother Matthews. Pastor Duckett.
Kingdom Builders. Now I got it.
Kingdom Builders. Yep. Yep. That's him.
Amen. Kings of Builders. Amen. Amen. We gotta get that brother. We need some brothers to come on too. Because I was looking through my notes, and as I was doing it, I couldn't find it, and it just came to me. But anyway, it was a blessed time. Amen. People were served. The community was served, and it was a blessing. So, bro, I commend you and thank you for what God put on your heart to bring folk together. And like you said, to see multiple churches focused on doing one thing to bless the community, that unity. Yeah, I think the unbeliever needs to see more of, because you know sometimes we have issues working together, but if we go into the same heaven, and that scripture says that we are many members in different parts, I think that goes for congregations too. But that's just me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about some characteristics of Christian men. Praise the Lord. My other guest here, your last four numbers are 4170. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Hey, I'm here, Big Date.
Hey, praise the Lord, Brother Jonathan. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
All right. You sound good. You sound clear. You sound wide awake. Amen? Well, we're going to jump right in tonight. One of the things we're going to talk, first of all, before we start, I wanted to share some insights. I was reading recently an article on discipleship. And doing some studying about what accountability, because I think some of that's one of the things when we talk about discipleship in the body of Christ, we sometimes we forget about accountability. and how we teach and how we minister and how we set people's foundation. Because if our foundation is flawed or weak or built on sand, our faith is going to be weak when the times come. So I think some of the time we want to go back. So I want to share this real quick, because tonight we're going to be talking about the characteristics of a Christian man. But I want to start with this. The statement I was reading, it says, what would happen at your church if these questions were asked of every member at every Bible study and Sunday gathering? The first question, I mean, you had to fill in some form out before you came into the sanctuary. Came into Bible study, coming to the sanctuary. What would happen? What known sin have you committed since our last meeting? Question number two, with what temptations have you met? Question number three, how were you delivered? Question number four, what have you thought, said, or done which you question whether it is sin or not? And number five, have you anything you want to keep secret? So if we had to answer those five questions before a Bible study or before a Sunday worship service, what would we see in ourselves? And then would we be honest to be able to repent from those things before we stepped in to begin to worship God or to go into study of his word? Have we examined ourselves? Again, I want to share them real quick again for those who are listening. Then the first question you ask yourself is, what known sin have you committed since the last meeting, since the last Bible study, last Sunday service? With what temptation have you met? Where have you been tempted in your life? What area of life have you been tempted? And how were you delivered from that temptation? Or did you succumb to it? Number four, what have you thought, said, or done which you question about, is it sin or not? What doubt and sin do you have that you did something that you've done in your life, it seemed like sin, or it is sin, or does it feel sin, or you have combination about? Number five, have you anything you want to keep secret? What secret, what facade, what mask are you wearing in the midst of the Bible study and worship service? That you make sure nobody sees, nobody, you make sure something that's gone on since the last meeting that you don't want nobody about, and that's secret. Are you transparent? Are you being transparent? Amen? Amen. So I'll just let that meditate right there. If we had to answer, if that was our questionnaire coming into a service, coming into a meeting, amen? Brother Jonathan, what do you think about those questions?
Wow, Nate. I think the first one, like when you said, what sin? You hear me, Dave?
Yes, go ahead.
You said what sin? Wow. When I called you, I told you I'm going to be real personal. I think even the first ones is the ones that I'm learning, like stand in my lane. Stand in my lane. Like really staying in my lane and not being, you know, too busy, but being productive. It's amazing how we have to check ourselves before we even enter into the sanctuary. You know, and that's something that should be done every morning. But it's real powerful. Even the questions is just, have you thought about what you've done to the point where, are you still healthy, not only to the body, but are you healthy to, you know, your walk? That was a deep one right there. Because it wasn't talking about other people. It was talking about you. You know, that transparency we were talking about last time. You know, it's just deep. That was a powerful question.
Amen, and I think that's important for us as men and even as believers. You know that we need to be we need to examine ourselves and keep ourselves and keep, you know, keep our face before God and what we do and how we, and what we're doing and how we're living and what our walk looks like. Because again, there's no secrets before God. God sees all and knows all and knows the intentions of our heart. And we have to be honest enough and realize enough that how we living. Brother Boone, what do you think, sir? We had to answer those five questions before we came into the service.
My brother, I don't think I would make it in the sanctuary. Let me be with you. We all fall short of the glory of God, and I know I fall short. I'm not going to say that I do terrible things or anything like that, but I'm just saying that we're human and we know what's right and what's wrong. Even the little things could be wrong. So to question ourselves is to make ourselves accountable unto what God wants, how he wants us to be. And I would not want to walk in that sanctuary. If God wanted me to be so honest, I would be outside the doors, face on the concrete, asking him for forgiveness. That's what I would do. What do you think?
Amen. You're absolutely correct. And that's the point. We should come into the sanctuary. We should start our day on our knees with our face before God, knowing that he knows us and prepare ourselves for the day ahead. That I'll say we, and I also don't want to come off as being super spiritual, super saint, because these are the things that this is what we have to do. We have to look at ourselves. We have to be able to look at ourselves to be able to let God see us how God sees us, and then be thankful and not take for granted the grace, the mercy, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit within us and those things that God has put in us to make this walk possible, because we're not doing it of our own flesh. I always say that, you know, being a Christian and being a man is not about what other people think about you. It's about how God and what motivates us. Are we changing on the inside? I mean, it's easy to dress us up on the outside, but are we changing the inside? And we only know, and only God, and God knows. We only know, and God truly knows what's on the inside of us and who we are and what we do and why we do what we do. And if we constantly checking ourselves, are we of the faith? And I think God is really pleased, because we have to stay humble. We can't get to the point where we think we got it all together. We're walking in this walk, and we're Christians, and I'm the greatest Christian man walking around the earth. Because look at who I am and look at what I do. That'll set us up for failure, and that'll get us a ticket to hell. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't preach that, but, you know, amen? Amen. Well, tonight, I wanted to go, and we're going to talk about some characteristics. The first one we're going to talk about is, the first one we're going to touch on is discernment, the importance of discernment. I mean, I skipped to the wrong one. It's discretion. Discernment. We're going to come back to discernment since I started there, but we're going to come back to it. But I want to go to discretion. Being able to keep our minds and focused on sound judgment, giving serious attention and thought to what's going on. And we carefully choose our words, attitudes, and actions, so that we can put any given situation, that we avoid words and actions that will result in adverse consequences. Are we keeping peace about ourselves? Are we keeping ourselves, we have discretion about how we respond to things and what we do about things that go on around us and how we respond. Because as we know, when issues of life come around, or even when we talk to unbelievers, or we even talk amongst ourselves, do we have discretion? Are we standing? Are we keeping our minds focused on the important things, or do we get easily pulled off track down, you know, rabbit holes and into things that really don't really matter? Brother Jonathan, what do you think, sir?
But truthfully, about the word discretion, I think Deacon Farr and Brother Boom, I think discretion is a thing that we deal with a lot when we have a lot of men's Bible studies or open Bible studies in church. Or in worship, you know, Bible studies, and we always hear that word. I don't know if y'all, you know, if y'all too have ever heard it. Other brothers that's listening, there's always that one brother that'll say, well, I'm going to be the devil's advocate. And what if it went, you know, it's like you take the subject away from what you're talking about because you want to be the devil's advocate. Or you want to discretion, or you want to, sugarcoat the subject to the point where no one is able to get a little bite, you know, a little bit in or a little sting in, because you want to make sure everyone leaves that Bible study or that man's conversation or man's meeting comfortable, you know. And you know, the favorite word that we always use is we're human, but we already know we're human. We know we're human, and we know that we fall short. But at the same time, how do we lean on each other and hold each other up? And discretion without, like you said, being a super saint. And it says the way you worded it was like, keep our minds focused on sound judgment. And, you know, sound judgment means healthy judgment. It means a judgment that doesn't isolate a person or isolate you to the point where a person feels, you know, aggravated of the conversation or the subject you're talking about, you know, giving serious attention to the thought on what is going on. You know, serious attention, like this is an alarming situation. This is a situation that we have to deal with. You know, there's no way of getting around it. How are we going to deal with it head on, and do what's best for those that are listening, as well as those that, like Brother Boone said, that might not even be saved. Would they want to be a part of the conversation, or the rhetoric that's coming out your mouth, or how you're giving it back to the people around you? You know, carefully choose your words, your attitude, your actions. Are you being more emotional? Or are you being settled in a conversation? Is your attitude that you already know the answers that should be said? Or is you willing to be open-minded? Are you really choosing your words, or is it just something that you're verbatim been taught to give a person? Are you being transparent? Like you said today, Deacon Farr, you said, are you being I don't want to reword what you said, but a lot of people, I believe, are sympathetic over empathetic. Like, and I really believe right now it's not time for sympathy; it's time for empathy. Like, go where the person is really at. Let them know that I might don't feel what you feel. I might not understand what you're going through. It might be a divorce, or it might be a child that's wayward. But the empathetic part is, look, man, I'm here. I'm not trying to pat you on the back and woe's me, but I'm here for you. You know, and I have a good, you know, and it says, and make sure that you don't result in adverse consequences. In the midst of having this conversation or this dialogue, you know where the conversation is going, like you really feel it. Don't let your ego get in the way. So yeah, you might think that you won the conversation, but you lost the soul. Not to say that you're the one that can bring a person into salvation, but you can be the one that buffers them away for a while and might leave them until the next person can pull them in. That's what I like about, you said, the adverse, you know, consequences, adverse, the ending. You know, what is the end result of, you know, what is the whole conversation about? It's about uplifting someone and bringing them out of where they are. So that's what I love about discretion. And discretion means you use a little bit of, you know, not common sense, that's a bad word, but a little bit of empathy. Understand where you're going with this, and there's a focus, and there's a way we're going without getting so theologically inclined and, you know, into the wording. And so don't have the adverse consequences on the conversation. That's a bit for me. I'm digging for right there.
Amen. Amen. You know, and what you're saying about discerning, I was looking up some scriptures here, and I was looking at Romans chapter number 12. I'm going to read that real quick. And Brother Boone, I want to come to you and get your insight and wisdom on it. But in Romans chapter number 12, at verse number 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kind and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to the other brother. And I think that's when we talk about that discretion, when we talk about being on sound judgment and giving a serious attention and thought to what's going on. And that's important on how we treat one another and how we treat each other as men. Because even in the midst of my brother, if my brother is struggling with an area, or my brother needs, sometimes a man just needs a hug, a handshake, or someone to listen to. And we have to, if like Brother Johnson was saying, if we got a verbatim, we got that, that cookie cutter response to issues that men are going through, trust me, it inauthentically and hypocrisy can be, there's a smell to it, you know? Because, you know, we have to really be sympathetic to what people are struggling with. And sometimes we get to a place, I'm not going to say everyone, and I don't want to say it, but we have to be careful about our own selves, that we don't get to a place, if we hear that a brother struggling in a specific area of his life, well, this is what you should be doing, and this is how you should do it. And that's what we tell everybody. And that's not what we're called to do, and that's not what we need to be able to have discretion, and sometimes just to and know when to speak. I think that's another important thing, when to speak and when not to speak, and to really be there for a brother. Brother Broom, what do you think, sir?
I just want to send greetings to Brother Johnson, and great to hear him. I tell you, you hit the nail on the head, as they say. Love conquers all. I could not do what I do without the agape love that I have within me. By me walking the streets, by me talking at work, by me to my wife or whatever, I have to have the love in me to be able to have things in perspective, in a godly perspective. I used to think that love was in a different sense of just giving and caring. I mean, it's all about that, but I was looking outside of the spirit of love. And when you're walking in the spirit of love, you see things transform before you. But walk out of the spirit of love, you think that people don't see it or don't care about it or whatever. But when you're in the spirit of love, you don't have to think about those things, because it's being transformed. It's letting your light so shine that others may see it. It's just a miracle before you, where things just open up. People open up. Wherever you walk, things open up. When you're driving somewhere, even the trees in the clouds and the beauty of the sun open up to you, and you absorb so much more when you have that love in you. I mean, I'm just so happy that I finally realized that real love comes from God. And when I didn't see a love that came from God, I misused it. I confused it with earthly things, and I thought I knew what love was. But now that I finally see the light of what Jesus wants to give unto us as he walks this earth, and that's just love, and then everything that comes with it. There's no care or worry that you have when you have that love instated in you. It's nothing can penetrate that. And when you talk to people, they see that love. Then when you speak to people, they feel that love. They don't see anything else. And I'm a witness to this. By going in these drug-infested areas, we're going to people that has been misused or abused, or people came into the community and they didn't react to them correctly. I realized that if I walk into these areas, wherever I go, it doesn't matter. By having that walk of love, I'm not saying it's bold walk. I'm talking about walk as in the godly walk. They see that you mean love. And it's a simple thing. Nothing else has to be confused with that. Nothing else has to be it's not over somebody's head, so to speak. From little ones to elders, they see it, it transforms, and it's not a real big conversation. It's it's a melting conversation. I know you both brothers have, you're bringing the love of God to wherever you be it a conference, be it a meeting, be with your family. And it's like a flower opening up slowly. It's just a beautiful thing. What do you think, brother?
Amen, sir. Amen. I agree. It is that love, and it's showing that love and being on purpose and being focused and knowing, again, that, you know, we keep our mind on the focus of the important thing, and it is showing that love and compassion towards people, the saved, unsaved, and or those that are around us, because we all have a circle of influence. So we have to be in a place where we keep our mind focused in sound judgment and pay serious attention to what's going on, that God may use us. I mean, you know, there's a time for play, there's a time for the spiritual thing. I don't want to think that we should be all, you know, we're not a moping, sad looking Christians, but also there's a time that we have to be in a place where our God-given resources are really used to transform lives and to move on the hearts of people. And to also minister to them in their circumstance. You know, that's one of the things I don't want to really go into it, but we all know that the prosperity preaching and teaching that, you know, if you come to God, if God loves you, you're going to have these things. That doesn't, you know, that rebuked a lot lately, but I'm not going to get into that. But however, are we having connection? Amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8:30. And tonight we're talking about some of the character traits of a godly man. The next one we want to talk about is efficient. Being efficient is being well-organized, competent, and resourceful, so we can make the most of every situation, doing our best and seeking the best ways. And I think that's for some of us, that comes all the way down to, again, you know, when I mean issues, when we talk about these things, we talk about personally. We talk about how your life is. It's not about ministry. It's not about the church. It's about how are you efficient in your personal life? What are you doing? You know, if you're unorganized in the world or unorganized person, what are you doing to follow the principles of God to get yourself organized? It's as simple as, you know, paying your taxes on time, paying your rent on time. Is your BG always late? Is all your bills always late? You know, how many late notices you got? I mean, it's a little thing. And I'm going to break it down for some, because we claim to be men of God, and are we on work on time? Do we get there on time, and do we stay? Do we leave on time? Or do we come in late and leave early? I mean, these are little things. Who are we, and how are we living? Again, these are things when we look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves first and begin there. And then, because now our family sees it, our children, our wife, our folk who know us know who we are. So what kind of reputation and what do people see about us? So I say again, the character trait I want to talk about is being efficient. And I want to go to a scripture here, but it talks about in our salvation. It's Ephesians chapter number 4, and it's verse number 23. And be renewed in us in the spirit of your mind. Getting our mind together to be efficient in the way we think, in the way we live, and to start to live a life that glorifies God on every level. That's not so much the superficial, but in that deep level of our heart that we know. You know, something they taught back in the day. You know, it was, you know, if you have to be somewhere, you be there 30 minutes early and you'll never be late. Yeah. That's a lot. That says a lot. And we have a generation that you tell them that and they say, well, I got to be here 30 minutes early. That tells me already you're not ready. You're not ready. Because you can't get nowhere and be ready to work if you just get there when you're supposed to get there. I'll leave it right there. Brother Jonathan, what do you think, sir?
Well, how we expect to survive as men if you're not efficient? I mean, let's take the halo off. Deacon Farr, Brother Boone, like, did you hear what Brother Boone said, Deacon Farr? He said love.
Yes, sir.
Like he got me tripping because I'm writing notes right now. I know disrespect, but he's like love. He said I don't mean that you know that gushy love, that efficiency. Like when I walk somewhere, I guess for me. to hear him talk in efficiency is like what you do all the time, Deacon Ford. No matter what comes your way, you're going to keep having this show. You're going to keep producing. You no matter who comes against you, you're going to still have the Man Up Ministries. You're going to have things like that. Brother Boone, going to keep walking out, talking to the young brothers on the street. Efficiency means accountability. Do people really think they can call on you when they really are in a jam? And what you brought to mind when you said efficiency, you're like, people, you know, we show up to work early. You know, we as men of God, we know we got to punch in the clock. But sometimes we have to strip ourselves and say, remember when we was doing bad, we was efficient at doing bad. We knew when to pick something up. We knew when to drop something off. We knew how to conduct ourselves at a certain time. We knew how to talk to the police at a certain time. We knew when things was going to get hot on the block. We were efficient at doing wrong. And I remember saying one time to a men's meeting, I said, we were so efficient that we got locked up. Some of us were so efficient in doing wrong, we started using drugs, and we were good at using them. But when we come into the kingdom of God, for some reason, even I went through that stage as a babe in Christ when I first came, like, I want to see something happen before I do something. Not knowing if you're efficient in the word of God and you're doing what's needed to be done, doors are open. Like Brother Boone said, when I walk somewhere, I'm still going to talk to that soul on the street, regardless if they just never walked inside of a church, but they'll see that love in me. When we are efficient in what we are called into, when we are in a conversation, people will get addicted to the conversation we're in, and they don't even know why until we tell them. We have to literally tell them, I'm saved. They be like, well, what is it about you? Why are you standing strong in wanting to help me? Why are you standing strong in the belief system you have? You know, being efficient means that I should get up every morning, regardless of how I feel, whatever pains I'm going through, whatever ills I'm going through, whatever life tragedies I'm going through, I got to pray. And I told somebody, I don't pray for everybody before I pray for me. Because this is something about him, Deacon Ford, when I talk to him. I know that I have to pray for me before I pray for Deacon Ford, or Brother Boone, because I'm not a wretched soul, but I'm a person that has to understand, okay, I got to get myself under submission so I can be efficient. Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know I want to do my thing. But what do you want me to do? And when I do it, Lord, let me do it to my best ability. I don't care if everybody's thinking I'm doing my best. If I know in my heart I'm not doing my best, I need to step up. And I'm learning this, not the younger generation so much, it's just, you know, I mean, when I was younger, it was always that word, CP time. Don't worry about it. We're going to say church start at 9:15, but we know worship ain't going to really start to 9:45, because that's when everybody's going to come in. So we're going to have a meet and greet and a testimony for 35 minutes to everybody get here. You know, efficiency is in the same. I'm sorry, Deacon Ford, but efficiency is just like Brother Boone said. Efficiency is just like that word love. It's an action. They should see it in your heart. They should hear it in your conversation. That's what he said. He said, they hear it in my conversation. Come on, Deacon Ford.
Amen, sir. Amen.
That's efficient.
Amen, bro. yes, sir. You know, I agree, because that's some of the things, it means it's a lot to be well organized. I know Brother Boone, the fact that it all comes, and I was reading this, and I thought about Saturday and how everything came together, and that's what it takes. We can't do it, we use this word, I know we use it we use it as a cliche in the church that, you know, that God is not a God of mess, that God is a God of organization. But are we living our lives that way? You know? Brother Boone, what do you think?
Oh, God bless you, Brother Jonathan. All I can say is, but God. And I tell you, you know, just having, being efficient really means and I used to think it meant this. I used to think being efficient is, okay, I wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, do my hair, get my clothes ready. I'm looking good. So, but then I realized it's not that. Being efficient is wake up, thanking God I woke up. Now check my attitude. What's going on with me? Am I happy in the Lord? And am I feeling God's grace that I'm able to even wake up in a home? That I'm able to even go downstairs and get a bagel before I leave out? That I'm happy my beautiful wife is doing lessons, my sons are doing well? That's being efficient. Thanking him for those things he gave to you. And once I check myself, my inner self, then I can walk out that door ready for all that geographical area around me, from east to west to north to south, because I don't know what's going to come about me that day. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour. I don't know what's going to happen when I drive to work. I don't know what's going to happen when I get in the car. I don't know what's going to happen once I arrive work and who's not feeling great for that day that may come at me. So do I come at them? No. You come at them with love and calm them down with whatever's going on in their life. Finally learning how to check my inner self was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because literally, you're dying if you don't, because you're not doing a screening test, screening what's wrong with you. So if you're not screening what's wrong with you, what I used to do, I used to just walk about the earth thinking I'm good. But no, what makes you healthy and what makes you efficient is checking yourself from head to toe inwardly. Not outwardly. What do you say, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think that's important for each of us to be efficient in how we use the gift that God has given us. What are we doing with what God has put in us and planted in us? And are we using it efficiently to reach those, to minister, to show the glory of God in our lives and those around us? And, you know, because sometimes we may slip, we might, you know, we forget, sometimes we may forget who we are. And I think that's where we talked about, I know each of you mentioned, you know, how you start your day. And I think that's very important, how we start our days and go out and begin our day. Because like you say, the brother, boom, when we hit the door, okay, first, let me start here. If our house, if there's turmoil in our house, if we're waking up in trials and tribulations in our home, because I do want to touch on the brothers. Some brothers don't wake up in a safe place. They don't wake up in a place where there's peace. So that's something right there you need to be praying upon. Because I don't want to take for granted, and I don't want to sugarcoat and coat over some stuff. We have men who are living who wake up in a place where it's not of peace. That even wake up. Let me say this for my brothers that are listening online. If you call them to www.blogtalkradio.com, Deacon Thomas Farr, have you ever woke up and still lay there and act like you were asleep because you didn't want to know nobody you was up yet because you knew there was something? I'm just saying. Because everybody don't have a peaceful place to lay their head. They have a place to lay their head to get to physically rest, but their spirits are riled up. And then when it's time to wake from the physical rest, their spirits are still worried about something else. And then that also is where we have to, again, where the Word of God, where the Spirit of God comes, and where we are as men of God. How do we get through that? How do we begin? How do you wake? Do you wake up in prayer because you don't know what's coming at you? Because for some brothers, it's even before your feet hit the floor, if you sit up in bed, there's some fiery darts coming right at you, and you know those darts are coming. And are you preparing yourself, and are you doing the thing to be able to get into the spiritual battle, no matter where you are? Because, again, You know, I've known men and I've known brothers. But there's a lot of things that a lot of brothers have come out of that would kill some of y'all. Some of y'all would be dead right now. But these the brothers that have lived through these things. So and it was their faith that kept them. And that's why I believe passionately why we need men's ministry. Because for those of us who have survived, who had those sleepless, I won't say sleepless, but restless nights, yet our head and our heart and our mind were still troubled, and we woke up in the battle. There's a brother right now that goes to your church who was sitting in the church on Sunday who's having that issue today and tomorrow. And what are we doing? Are we praying for those brothers around us? And or do we even know those brothers to give them a place of relief? Are we praying for them, or are we prepared to minister to them, even if they call you, or even if they reach out to you? And this is why we need to have real fellowship and real men's ministry to men, because being a man is not easy. That's why a lot of males bail out, because it's easy to bail out than to stand. It's as simple as that. And I think sometimes because when we talk about being efficient, that means to be well organized and competent and resourceful. That takes planning. That's brain work. That's harder than digging a ditch. I'd rather dig a ditch than have to organize and get together and know what's going on and manage your resources. Just tell me, if I move the dirt from here to there, that's easy. I could do that all day. But how about loving my wife, raising my children, ministering to someone, serving, being the man of God called us to be in the community? I'm gonna call some brothers out right now because we are exactly 2 weeks away from football season. How much outreach are we gonna do on Sunday afternoons in the next 4 months? What are we gonna do for God on Sunday afternoons? What are we gonna do for God in the midst of, you know, I forgot we got college football on Saturday for some of you brothers. So in the next 3 months we're gonna put God on the side. I can't outreach. I can't diss. I got to go to my alumni, whatever game. And I'm sorry. I'm doing it again. Amen. But anyway.
Okay.
Amen. Like yeah, excuse you, man. Sure. Go ahead, bro. I let you take it, Brother Jonathan, before, I lose a sponsor or something. What do you say, sir?
I'm taking a knee like Kaepernick. It's like, no. If it's okay, digging far, you know what would be a powerful thing to be done today? Pray over those brothers, man. Because they hurting. Pray over them. But what is God putting on your heart to pray over those brothers digging far? You hear what you said? The things you just said. Waking up in the morning in the war zone. And, you know, we as men like trying to fake the game. We run the house. Yeah, you run the house on the outside while you're having a heart attack on the inside. Stressed out. You to church before your wife get there. Or you hoping she leave and you don't got to go today. Ministry is not as easy as we always think. And, you know, after 20 years of ministry, I've seen brothers don't even preach no more. They giving it up or they walking away from the calling of ministry. Because they're like, well, my house ain't right or my wife ain't, you know, and they're battling. They at church, but they go back to a war zone. You know, and everybody, and for some reason, the men of God and the women of God always preach about the woman to go back to the war zone. Like, men don't go back to war zones. Sister, you can keep your head up. Sister, keep praying for him. He going to come around. Some of us had wives that we had to keep praying for to come around. And then one day your wife tell you, I don't want to be a part of this. Brothers need, the blessing that we have as men of God is, and once we learn to be transparent and tell them, brother, you know, exclaim to these brothers' spirits that, brother, God still has a calling on your life. God still has something powerful for you to do. And you can do it. It can be done. You know, what's the new thing in theology? You know, your influence, your realm of influence. You know, so a lot of brothers need prayer because we're providers. Real, not a male, but real men are providers. This is something about us. We're going to take care of our family. We're going to do what needs to be done. And sometimes we got to step away from the churchy thing and be around brothers to tell you to be okay. We know you're stressing. We know that, you know, things might be happening in the home or on the job, you know. And before your feet hit the floor, you already know you're fighting because bills are tight, you know. Or you ain't fixing the problems that need to be fixed in the house because you ain't, you know, you're the super brother with the cape. And people don't understand, you know, and I really believe our culture really don't understand that men are emotional too. We need a break. We need a vacation. And we need timeouts too. And I think that's why we die so young. And I don't wish that on no brothers that's listening on the radio right now or listening on online. Brothers, get that rest you need and step back. You know, get the help you need. And I pray that there's a men's group or a men's meeting that's something that you can go to as needed. You know, it's so much needed, Deacon Ford, man. Because I went through my dark period. But if it wasn't for, you know, you always calling me and our brother Wayne always calling me, I went through a dark time in life where I was like, God, you can have everything you taught me. I'm just going to let my company grow. But it was brothers that came around and said they little small things. I don't even know they were big things. You know, sometimes your wife ain't going to want the ministry that you've been called to. And that's life. It ain't that she hates you. She just don't want the ministry. The ministry is hard on her. And she's like, and it ain't just to belt out. Sometimes my wives belt out. I'm like, nope, I ain't doing it. And we get confused because we've been told if you stay strong, you're going to keep your family strong. And it's not always that. It doesn't always work out that way. But the grace of God still let us be consistent with our children and be consistent with ministry. Because brothers like you and Bug Boone and other brothers that's on the radio, I'm like, I'm going to keep saying Brother Wayne. He said, nah, bro, we're going to let you drop like that. So prayer is powerful, man. We need it a lot. We need good word. We need good brothers to be around us, to see our flaws and understand that we have them and don't try to break them, but try to rebuild us as the men of God, as, you know, God has called us to be. And I publicly, I thank you for that, Deacon Farr. I thank you for that. And Brother Boone gave me some words like a couple weeks ago. And I went out Baltimore. I helped a couple children get books and stuff. And cause he was like, you can do it. He don't even know what he was saying to me. Sometime ministry and everybody going to see what you're doing. Just go do it. And it's a refreshing feeling to hear what's going on. So I told you, Deacon Ford, call me. Let's do this. You know. But you're strong brothers, and we need more brothers like y'all, Deacon Ford, period. And don't forget that, Brother Boone, you need it. Deacon Ford, you need it. And if no brother going to tell you that, I'm going to tell you. Ain't no jealousy. You need it. We need you. There's some brothers that need to hear what you're doing. Because we broken, and we fixing ourselves back up together so we can be healthy for God's ministry and it's called on our lives. And I thank you and Brother Boone right now publicly.
Amen, bro. Amen. I appreciate you, bro, and I appreciate what you're saying. And again, you know, this is what it's about. This is what men's ministry is for. This is what men's ministry should be doing to encourage, uplift brothers. So we don't have brothers just sitting in the pews and dying. They just sit there. They did their attendance, and no one knows what's going on in their lives. And they're not being uplifted and encouraged because it's about a soul. It's about individuals. And if I am to encourage my brother, if I encourage one brother, I'm not giving up. I figure that's what God has placed us here for. You know, we have passions for great mega ministries. Apparently, that's the new thing now in this. Generation on this spirit, but it's one soul. It's one soul at a time. And if I can help one brother make it through, that he stands before God and he'll, well done, my good and faithful servant. I think that's what God has put me here for. As we always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, there's always one person who's only going to hear the gospel and only see the gospel in you. It's not going to be a maker. It's not going to be a famous pastor. It may not even be your pastor. But if you're saved and a Christian man, there's a purpose and a plan God has for you. There's a life that's tied to you. And then you may not see it either. We're sowing seeds. We may not see. This is generational. The man I save, suppose I save and encourage a brother, can encourage his family, that can encourage his son, that can encourage his grandson. So three generations of men I've touched because I stood by a brother right now. That I've touched his bloodline along with my bloodline. Amen. So this is Vinicius Christian Men's Talk. We thank you for joining us tonight. We pray all is well in your life. Continue to pray. Continue to reach out. And I thank you, brothers, for joining me tonight. And we're going to be back here on Thursday live again. And we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about the characters of a godly man. And I pray that something was said today that would encourage you. God bless you.